to announce and introduce my sister, my friend, my co-laborer in the ministry, sister, minister, mother, Anita Traylor. Give it up for her.
Love you. All right. Hallelujah. Come on, I feel the power of God in here today. I don't know about you, but I come to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's such freedom in here today. How many of you know that we serve a good God? And He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you have your seats. Hallelujah. First off, I'd just like to just thank and praise God just for this opportunity to come to you one more time, just to give you what I feel God has given me for the house today. More than anything, I just want to be obedient to the word of God. So today, look at the person next to you and say, put your seatbelt on. It might get a little tight in here. But I got to be obedient to what God said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First of all, I just want to thank my pastor and his beautiful first lady to just entrusting me to be here and to come before you today. And I just also thank God for my husband, Brother Wesley. Come on, Wes, wave at the people. 37 years. Let me tell you, marriage still works. I didn't say it wouldn't work, but it still works. And I thank God for my beautiful mother who's here, 85 years old. Come on, Ma. Just wave at the people. And my other mother, Mother Scott. Grew up on Carroll Street, used to live down her house, and just play and play and play. And here she is, I believe Mother Scott, 86, 87, 86, 86. You know, when you live right, God, He will preserve you. Oh yeah, He'll preserve you. So I thank God for them today. And I see some friends out there. I see my good friend. She's trying to sit in the back, but I see you, Danielle. Peace, I see you. Oh, yeah, they call me Hawkeye. I don't miss nothing. But we're going to, today, I'm going to be coming to you, St. Matthew, 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13, and it says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. But the wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins, they woke up and trimmed their lamps. Now the foolish ones said to the wise, they said, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." Do you know anybody like that? Don't never have what they need. Always want your stuff. Look at the person next to you and say, get your own stuff. Sometimes you only got enough for you. So they said, no, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you, so instead go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. They wasn't ready. The virgins who were ready, they went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. So later, the others, they came running, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But the Lord, he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. So the moral of this is, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour that the Lord shall appear. So if I had to make a title today, which I did, it says, is your good good enough? Is your good good enough? Let's just first talk about God's goodness. It's imperative for us to understand the meaning of God's goodness before we can truly understand the character of God. So we sing about it. You know, today you heard the team, they sang songs, Lord, you are good. They sang, how great is our God. They sang, they didn't sing good, good Father, but that's another one that talks about the goodness of the Lord. You hear so many people always saying, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But you know, sometimes I think we just get used to saying that. Do you really believe that? But the Bible defines God's goodness in two ways. One has to do with his character, and the other focuses on his actions. If your character is good, then we can expect your actions to be good. If your character is not good, it's kind of hard for your actions to be good. So God, he is morally excellent. He's extraordinary. He's beautiful, deeply glad, and extravagantly bountiful. But since this is God that we are talking about, this goodness ascribed to him, it raises to the highest possible levels. So think about it, that God, he truly is the original definition of good. He is the only one that's good. He is good in himself, and it says, for us, goodness is in an added quality, but it comes naturally for God. God is not just the greatest of beings, he is the best. That is exactly what Jesus meant when he said, Jesus said this, no one is good but one God. In Mark 10 and 18, it says, we call all kinds of things good, and we do. We say, this steak is good. Or we say, oh, this is my good friend. Or we say, that was a good movie. We call all the good on the earth, but all the good on the earth is tainted and imperfect because God alone is goodness himself. But how do you see the true character of a person? By his actions or by his character? It says the Bible, it says it replete with descriptions that point to his kindness, his mercy, his steadfast love, his generosity. It says God is disposed to give to human beings beyond all deserving all the time. God, he blesses us even when we don't deserve it. You heard Janice singing about it today. You know, he's so good, even when we don't even deserve his goodness. But have you ever thought of God as generous towards you? And can you believe that when he looks at you with all your baggage, and we have a lot of baggage, all your junk, all your hang-ups, He still says, I want to be generous to you. I want to love you in spite of yourself. He says, I can't wait to pour out on you that which will make you happy. Not because you deserve it, but because there's something about who I am. And that loves to overflow in extravagant ways upon you. So the Bible says those are actually God's thoughts about you. You know, because sometimes we need to hear it. Sometimes I don't think we really believe it. But God has your back when no one else has your back. He is there plotting to do you good when others are plotting to do you bad. You are the object of his affection. And because of his divine nature, all that he expresses comes from an expansive, overwhelming, God-sized generosity towards you. So when we become born-again believers, then we should take on the character of Christ. We shouldn't be acting, you know, any kind of way. We shouldn't be talking any kind of way. We shouldn't be treating people any kind of way. There's nothing worse than to see somebody who profess to love God and they mean, I mean, just mean. You don't know what bag they're going to come out of. You know, you can be all happy and, you know, hi, Sister so-and-so, how you doing today? I'm all right. You know, God is yet good even on a bad day. He's yet good. Even though God loves us, he also chastens us. So that's the thing that we need to remember, because a lot of times we feel, because God is love, he's full of grace. Sometimes we feel like that's a ticket for us to do whatever we want to do. No, that's not a ticket for you to just do whatever you want to do. Because if you love him, then you'll keep his commandments. So the thing is, even though you may have his character, remember that your actions must line up with the character. So let's go back to the story about the 10 virgins. We all know the story. You know, it's funny because there's so many parables in the Bible, and you know, you hear about them, but you know, it was something about this one that stood out to me. And it talks about the 10 virgins and how 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. But there was something about these 10 virgins. First of all, they were chosen to take part in the great ceremony. They were chosen. And I believe they were chosen, too, because of who they were. You know, when you talk about 10 virgins, especially in this day and time, let's just keep it real, you know, sometimes it may be hard to, you know, to find someone that is yet, you know, saving themselves. But, you know, these 10 women, they all were virgins. They all had the same thing in common. So they were chosen to be a part of this ceremony. Now, so think about it. When you get, you know, when you plan on a wedding, I don't know about you, but in a Jewish wedding can last for 3 days, okay? And it's similar to the way our wedding is. You know, you get engaged, okay? And after you get engaged, you plan your date, you know, when the ceremony is going to take place. But in a Jewish wedding, the ceremony usually takes place at the bride's home, okay? And then after the ceremony, then, of course, there is going to be the time of celebration. And when they celebrate, sometime they can celebrate all the way up to 7 days. Now think about that. If you were planning your wedding and your reception was going to last 7 days, you know, after 7 days, you're going to be taking up an offering for the people, because you got to feed these folks for 7 days. And you may say, now, I got you for the first day. But anything after that, it's on you. Somebody said, it's on you. Thank you. So, the feast takes place. And as I said, it lasts for 7 days. Then after the feast is over, then what happens is, usually the groom and the bride, the groom walks the bride to his home. And as he walks her to his home, all the bridesmaids, they're lined up with their lamps with oil in them. That's all part of the celebration because it's a big day. It's a big day. And so I just think a lot of times we need to really understand, you know, how big this day really is, how important marriage really is. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the planning of it. You know, we get caught up in the dress, you know, the invitations, you know, and things have changed since I got married. You know, I got married 37 years ago, me and my husband. So, but now, you know, you have saved the date. You know, we didn't do save the date. You know, the bride, you know, she has her, of course, she has her bachelorette party. Then she does something else. I mean, it's just a lot that goes on, you know, a lot that's involved. You know, people are registered certain places. And, you know, when I got married, I must have got about 10 punch bowls. I think it was about 10. The people didn't read the registry. They didn't care what the registry said. They gave me what they wanted me to have. Whether I wanted that salad bowl or whatever, they gave me what they wanted me to have. But things are different now. So I can imagine these 10 virgins preparing for this celebration. You know, there's a lot that you got to do. You know, when you tell someone that you're going to be in their wedding, how many of you know that that's an added expense? You can't tell someone that you're going to be in their wedding and don't expect to pay. Okay? And you are at the mercy of that bride, whatever she chooses. That is what you go with. So all of these virgins, I'm sure they was dressed the same way, all in white, even though they weren't the bride. But they all had on white. I'm sure. Now, this is, you know, I'm kind of, what I'm doing now is I'm taking you back to how we would do things. I'm sure they had to get their hair done. I'm sure they had to get a makeover. You know, now we get the people to come to your house and give you a makeover. You know, things have changed. I'm sure they got their nails done. And that might be why some of them forgot to bring in the extra oil. Their nails may have still been wet. And they felt like they had too much to carry. You know, we get like that. You know, they forgot about what the real motive was here. We can't forget why we are living this saved life. You know, sometimes I think because you've been saved so long, you know, sometimes you forget that Jesus is coming back again. Yeah, he's coming back again. You know, even though we may have heard that for years, you know, when I was a little girl, you know, they was preaching that he's coming back again. You know, and so the thing is, I think now people have heard it so much that they have become immune to it. You know, I don't think they really believe that he is coming back soon. And the thing is your good enough? We got a lot of good people. We got a lot of good people out here. People that are just kind, just have a good heart. You know, they just believe in just blessing people. And that's good. But the thing is, it takes more than you being good. You know, and we one thing about us, we put everybody in heaven. I'm going to just go there. It's all right if I go there. It's all right if I just be honest. You know, when you go to funerals nowadays, everybody going to heaven. And you know what kind of lifestyle they live. I know you love Pookie, but that don't mean he going to heaven. Just because you love him. I know it hurts our heart to think that he may not be going. But we are being deceived, people of God. And that's because we are not really speaking up anymore. You know, the church on a whole have gotten soft. Oh, yeah, we've gotten soft. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. You know, we accept a whole lot now, you know, because you don't want to step on any toes, you know. We do. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather that you offend me if it's going to mean saving my life. I'd rather that you offend me. Because the Bible, it says that the wages of sin is death. That's the word. The word has not changed. There is no expiration date on the word. The word has not changed. But sometimes I think we feel that it has changed. Wesley, you better go start the car. But I got to give you what God gave me. I'm going to tell you, I wrestled with this. I even thought about changing my message last night. Because I said, oh, God. You know, they know me. Janice and them, they tease me about saying, oh, God. They know when things get a little tight, I get to shaking that hand. But more than anything, I want us to be ready. I want us to be ready. You know, the thing that puzzled me about this story is that all of these virgins, they were good. These were good women. These weren't bad women. They were good. But five of them, they just didn't plan. I think they got caught up in the emotion of everything. So, you know, they just didn't plan. You know, they were so busy preparing on the outside, but they didn't really prepare for the inside of what was getting ready to really take place. And that's what happens so many times. We are just not prepared. So as they heard, you know, they were all dressed in their gowns. It was a long day. How many of you know that a wedding is a long day? That's a long day to have that dress on. So, you know, they were all dressed. I'm sure they was real fresh early in the morning. But then later in the evening, at midnight, I don't think they was quite as fresh. Their hair was all messed up. They had took a nap. And, you know, you can only look so good trying to take a nap. They had took a nap. They was tired. They had been waiting for the bridegroom. They had been waiting and waiting and waiting. So they took a nap, but then all of a sudden they heard a cry that the bridegroom is here. Oh, I'm sure they went to scrambling around trying to get it together because the bridegroom was here. Now, being that they had been waiting all night long, the oil had been burning all night. All night that oil had been burning. So it was empty. There was nothing in it. But thank God there were some that had oil with them. I don't know where my bottle of oil is, but thank God they had some oil that was reserved. Now, how many of you actually have some? some oil that's reserved on the inside of you for when tough times come. Because tough times is going to come. And you got to have some oil that's reserved. So, you know, I'm sure that you got all 10 of them together. And, you know, when you spend time with people, you get to know them. You know, you feel like you know them pretty well. So you feel a little bit more comfortable with them. So you may not mind asking them, you know, can I have this or can I have that? Because, you know, you feel like you've built relationship with them. Okay? So these 10, they all together. That oil had burned out. And these 5, they said, could you hook a sister up? But let me tell you something. Those 5 who were wise, they said, oh, no. They said, we only have enough for us. We only have enough for us. And so they told them, they more or less told them, you can go on down to the corner store and see if you can get some. Now, you know, those corner stores, you know, they hike the prices up. So it's going to cost them probably 2 or 3 more times than what they paid for the oil. But remember, you know, when you want the blessings of God, how many of you know it's going to cost you something? It's going to cost you something. Fasting and praying, getting into your word, trusting God, even when it looked like there's no way out. So these 5 who were foolish, they went, they saw the other 5 that were wise was not going to help them out. So they went and ran to get some oil. Now they got some oil. And I could see them now. Can you imagine in your gown and you running down up the street in your gown? You trying to get back to where the festivities were going on? So they get back and the door was shut. The door was shut. They said, open the door for us. In Matthew 25, 11 and 12. But Jesus, he replied, he said, I don't know you. I don't know you. So the thing is, there is a second coming. And we don't want him to say, I don't know you. So the thing is, what I'm really trying to convey to you is, even though these virgins were good people, but it still wasn't good enough. And that's the thing. I think we're just living in a day and time now where we just really believe in our heart that all you have to do is be good, just be kind. You know, you have people that are faithful to the church. I mean, they're faithful, they work hard, you know, and all of that is wonderful. I mean, but you have to make sure, people of God, we have to make sure that our life is lined up with the word of God. You know, we don't want it to just be that we got a good name just to say that we're a good person. More than anything, I don't want the pastor trying to think of nice things to say about me. You know, when the Lord do decide to take me on, I don't want it to be where he got to try and think up something and make up something, you know, just so my family will feel better. No, I want to live this life that's pleasing to him. Come on, you can give God a hand clap of praise. I had a list of things where it says that these women were alike in many ways. So one of the most striking facts about this story is how similar they really were. One, they all had been invited. They had all been invited to the banquet, and they all had responded positively. All 10 had gone out to wait for the bridegroom. All of them had their lamps with them. All of the virgins wanted to see the bridegroom. All were in the right place at the right time for the right reason. All of them wanted to go to the wedding banquet. All had some oil in their lamps at the beginning. All fell asleep while waiting for the bridegroom. All were awakened by the midnight cry. All 10 virgins got up to prepare their lamps, and all appeared to be equally prepared for the bridegroom's coming. But that last statement is crucial. It says, let's suppose that we were to ask the 10 virgins to stand in front of us, and in no particular order. You wouldn't have been able to tell how they were different in any kind of way just looking at them. And, you know, a lot of times we can have the look. You know, you can see a lot of people. You know, God has delivered us from a lot of things now. You know, but there was a time, you know, in some churches, you know, there was a lot of things that you may not have been able to wear, earrings or things like that, or jewelry or anything like that. But, you know, God has set most of us free now, you know. And, you know, a lot of times we used to look at holiness as, you know, just by only by how that person looked. But it's not just in how they look, but it's in how they act, their character. So a lot of times, you know, you may look the part, but that don't necessarily mean that you are living the part. You may just be plain and just don't like a lot of stuff, don't like to wear a lot of, you know, different things, and that's okay. So the thing is, you weren't really able to tell these women apart because they all appeared to be the same. So the thing is, but the one thing that really struck me the most is this, the oil. What did the oil actually represent? You know, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times people that have been saved a long time, and you know that they have gone through many trials and tribulations, and sometimes you wonder, how in the world, you know, can they yet remain encouraged and yet live holy for God after all the things that they have been through? You know, well, I think about, I have two women right here that I'm going to even just use as example. My mother, for one. You know, my mother, my father died when I was 6 months old. My mother was a widow with three children, three small children. You know, my father, he died in a car accident, hit a pole head on. Now, my mother was left as a widow at a young age. She was 27, three kids. And, you know, some people don't recover from things like that. You know, some people say, well, you know, if God is a God of love, how could he do that? You know, but my mother, because she have served God and she knows the meaning of living for God, how she relied on the presence of God, that oil ran deep inside of her. She was full of oil, full of oil. And so that was how she was able to overcome that. Other things that had happened that I watched her go through. When my sister passed away, my sister was a special needs child, and that about took my mother out because Tina just was so dear to all of us. But how my mother, how she persevered, how she prayed, and how people gathered around her, people with oil. You got to have some people with oil that's around you. You can't have everybody around you. Some of you need some new friends anyway. You hanging with the same people. You know, God may have something good in store for you through new relationships. You know, but you got this little clique, you won't let nobody in. You won't let nobody get to know you. Because you know they may not be the way you think they should be. But you don't know. You may have just pushed away your blessing. So the thing is, that oil, it got to run deep. Because when that oil is empty, oh, you got to be able to pour some of that oil You got to be able to pour some in. Oh, in that oil, it is the fullness of joy. But before these 10 virgins, before they went on to try, when they heard that the bridegroom was there, you know, they had to prepare the wick. You know, a lot of times when you're burning candles, you know, it can burn and burn and burn. And, you know, after a while, if you don't trim it, you know, that fire will no longer be there, okay? So that's where that trimming comes in. And when I was talking about how you may have to start tweaking some things, you may have to change some things, change how you do some things, you know, because you still need that fire. And, you know, there's different ways that you can yet get the fire to be lighted, but you just may have to tweak some things, okay? So I talked about, you know, just, you know, even with the people that, as I said, that you're around, you know, you may want to just start, you know, having some people around you that's going to challenge you, you know? Some people that you know that can get a prayer through. You know, I mean, you can't allow everything to just enter into your spirit. You just can't. Because after a while, there will be no fire that will be burning from that oil. One of the things that God showed me is there's so many good people out here. Good people. I talked a little bit about my mother, but also her friend, Mother Scott, that's here. I've always been in awe of Mother Scott. Mother Scott had 7 children. 5 died. I watched her bury every single one of her sons and her grandson. But she never stopped praising God. Never stopped praising God. That oil ran deep. It ran deep. So, you know, when you hear stories like that, you know, I asked her, I said, Mother Scott, how did you yet go on? She said, because one thing, my relationship with God was pure. She said, I trusted God. I prayed that God would allow me to have that many children. She said, and he gave me what I asked for. She said, but then when he decided to take them, she said, I still had to trust him. Can you say that you yet trust God when all hell is breaking loose? Can you yet trust him? This message today is, I want to challenge you today. Because I believe that there are a lot of good people that are here today. But you just feel, you know, I know that I'm a good person, but I just feel like that there's more for me. I just need more. There's something that's missing. And I want you to know that God has more for you today. You know, you have to ask yourself the question, is my good enough? Is it good enough? Because if it's not good enough, then it may be that all you need is some oil. You need that Holy Spirit. Because that oil is what's going to sustain you. But you can't be like the foolish virgins. You can't just be so caught up in the fact that you are part of the ceremony. You know, that you're one of the bridesmaids. You have to have prepared yourself just in case. You have to prepare yourself just in case. You know, that's even like, I know for me, a lot of us are guilty. You know, don't too many people carry cash anymore. We all carry our debit cards. But what happens if you go to that place and their credit card machine is broke? That happened to me the other day. I was at Taco Bell. I didn't need to be at Taco Bell, so don't judge me. I just wanted Taco Bell. You know, I placed my order, and I was ready for those that Nachos Bel Grande. Then the lady tells me, she said, ma'am, our credit card machine is broke. You're going to need cash. I got somebody in back of me. I couldn't even run to the bank. I'm like, I can't believe this. You know, I'm mad with them because the credit card machine is broke. But, you know, then I had to think about it. I said, well, I should carry some cash on me too. You got to have something in reserve. You got to have that oil in reserve. So when things are getting tough at home, when your child is just living any old kind of life, they strung out on drugs and you have prayed. And it seemed like your prayers have not been answered. Don't give up on God. Just continue to pour some oil. Continue to put more oil. Continue to get on your knees and pray. Continue to wake up early in the morning. Continue to fast. Continue to get you some prayer partners. Continue to get some people that you know love God. Cut some of them friends off that don't mean you no good anyway. You're trying to carry everybody with you. Your blessing ain't meant for everybody. Your blessing is meant for you. Keep pouring. Keep pressing in. Keep believing God that He is able to do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Hallelujah. Come on and lift up your hands as a sign of surrender unto the Lord. Everybody stand on your feet right now. How many of you really believe that He's coming back again? And He's coming for a church without a spot or wrinkle. Don't get content where you are. Don't say, well, I'm a good person, I'll be okay. It's going to take more than you being a good person. You don't want to get to the door and the door is shut on you. And He said, depart from me, I know you not. These are things we don't want to talk about too much. A lot of times we don't want to talk about certain things. As I said earlier, because we're afraid that we're going to offend somebody. Lying is still wrong. Cheating is still wrong. Adultery is still wrong. This isn't things I'm making up. This is what the Word says. You can't get mad at me. You got to get mad at the Word. But you got to get so mad that you turn that madness into something positive. You got to get mad at the devil. You got to get so mad that you say, you know what, I'm tired. I'm tired of the enemy. I'm tired of him wreaking havoc on me and my family. I'm tired. Only you can change things. Because God is still good in spite of. Team, come on out. He's yet good. I want the altar workers to get ready. Don't worry about who's going to see you come down this aisle. This could be your last time. Tomorrow is not promised to us. I need altar workers. Where's my altar workers? I need you. I need you across the front. I need you to move quickly. Come on. Quickly. time is running out. Come on, get in place.
Oh,
the day that Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ray Lee, I want you to come here. Hallelujah. Come on, don't be afraid. I hear the Lord saying to you, Raylene, that there is yet good in you. Even though something bad happened, but that thing will not keep you from walking into your destiny. I hear the Lord saying that today, Raylene, you must forgive yourself. I hear the Lord saying that today is a new day, and you shall not walk in the things of old, that you shall walk in the things of new on today. I hear the Lord saying that today I'm going to do something new and fresh in you. No more shall you walk with your head hung down. I'm going to breathe new life into you, Raylene. New life. Lift up your hands as a sign of surrendering unto him. We're going to give you oil today. Every time when the enemy tries to bring up your past, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Oh, I come against the hand of the enemy that's been trying to torment her for weeks, for months. I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Today you are a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus. Let the wind of God blow on you. Marquita, just flag over her. Let the wind of God overtake her. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, there's still oil here. There's still oil here. Every one of these oils should be gone. Every single one of them. You should anoint your household. You should anoint your household that the enemy will not be able to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. Take authority. Take authority. God wants to set you free today. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Even if all the oil is gone, the vials of oil, we still have oil here. We have people that will anoint you with oil. You need to be covered. The enemy is not playing. He don't care nothing about you. Time is short. Very dear friend of mine, just got married last year. Her and her husband have not even celebrated their year anniversary. And he's gone on. Just because you're young, that don't mean that the tomorrow is promised to you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Continue to sing.
You are good. Hallelujah. You are good.
I lay hands upon my sister Claudette, God. God, you have brought her through many trials and tribulations, God. Oh, God, but you are yet good, God, because she is yet here to stand and tell about it, God. God, right now as I lay hands upon her, God, God, I pray for her leg right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, I pray, God, that that leg shall heal, that that wound shall heal, that it shall close up, it shall dry up. I come against all infection. I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Let your healing balm of Gilead, let it saturate her leg right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, we thank you for this woman of God. We thank you for how she has not given up on you. We thank you, God, for how she has pressed her way. God, we thank you for this woman. God, how she has loved you, God. She has not allowed her circumstances to determine her praise and to determine her worship. Jesus. Oh, God, heal her, God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. In the name of Jesus, we cover her, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Is there anybody else? We don't want to close this altar. We don't want you to leave here without your needs being met. Everybody all over the building just to sing that. You are good. You are good.
You are good.
You are good.
You are good.
The Lord is good.
You are good.
The Lord is good.
You are good.
He is good.
You are good.
Over every circumstance. And give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. We're talking about the King of Kings today. He is the Lord of Lords. He is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want Minister Brian to come on up. Hallelujah. We're not closing the altar. If you still need your breakthrough, the altar workers, they're still here. You don't have to carry any extra baggage today. You can leave it here at the altar. I know life is hard sometimes. I know sometimes you feel like giving up. There are times I felt like giving up. But the devil is a lie. I know a lot of times people may not be able to see the oil in you, because that oil might be in one of these clay vases. And in the clay vase, you can't see how much oil is in here. But I tell you what, if there's no oil, there's no fire. So when that test, when you go through that test, and when you're able to go through the test, that means that that oil is yet burning on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Minister Brian.
Hallelujah. Can we give Minister Anita a hand? Come on, let's give God a hand for Minister Anita. Wow, what a word, what a word, what a word. Is your good good enough? Wow, if that's not a self-examination message, I don't know what is. But we love you, we thank you for the word. We thank you for allowing God to use you the way he did. You know, can't nobody beat you being you. And you were just yourself today, and we love you for that. We love you. Give God a hand, give God a hand. Is worthy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And before I close out in prayer, what we like to do is when the word comes like that, we like to restore the virtue that she's released out upon you. Because once you teach and you preach and different things like that, you're worn out afterwards. It almost feels like you've played an athletic event. So I want us to strengthen the name of Jesus. We just ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would just restore the virtue, Father God, that she has released today, Lord God. We thank you that the word that she has released was all you, Father God, and that it has fallen on fertile soil, Lord God, and it will accomplish that which you've sent it to do, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood over her right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that no weapon that is formed against her shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment, we condemn it now in the name of Jesus. Bless her home. Bless her family, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I know you are well pleased, Lord God. And we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If we can lift our hands, don't close your eyes, we're just speaking the blessing. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I bless everything that you put your hands to do. I bless your homes. I bless your finances. I bless your children. Everybody in your family, we bless them, Lord God. We bless everything that God intended for you to do. We pray, Father God, and we bless, Father God, anything that they put their hands to do, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
We pray and we bless them with favor, Lord God. We bless them with grace, Lord God. We bless them with fire of the oil in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father God, I just pray that you would just bless them to a point, Lord God, that it overflows, Lord God, to a point that they have no other choice but to do what?
Give it away.
Give somebody a hug. Hallelujah.